Welcome to An Examined Education, a podcast from the Cambridge School, a classical Christian school in San Diego, California, where we examine an education that prepares students to think well, love rightly, and live wisely. On today's episode, we continue our short series of Behind the Scenes at Cambridge, where we have the pleasure of talking with the Director of Enrollment Management, Leslie Yoder, who gives us great insights into how the Cambridge School finds mission-fit families and students to fill our classes, and our hope for the future of enrollment. Enjoy! Hi, Leslie. Welcome to An Examined Education. I'm excited to be here with you today, although we do share an office, and so we see each other all the time.
Yes, we see each other a lot.
It's good. Good things. So I'm excited to talk to you about enrollment. This whole series is a behind-the-scenes series, and enrollment is a huge part of the school. So let's talk about it. Tell me a little bit about specifically the Cambridge School, how it was built and grew over time.
Sure. I don't know that I would technically be called the gatekeeper because we have an admissions committee.
Okay.
I introduce people to the gate.
To the gate.
I bring people to the gate. Well, I'm sure this has been covered in other podcasts, but Jean Kim, our founder and head of school, started the school because she was really looking for an option for her own children to have a rigorous education that didn't neglect character or spiritual development. And when she found out about classical education, she decided to start a school with her own small children. And we started the school with only 9 students in junior K, K, and first grade. And she did that intentionally so that we could really build the school carefully and really follow classical pedagogy, select the right curriculum, hire the right teachers. So building it one grade at a time is certainly a very slow way to grow a school. But mm-hmm. by the time we reached our first graduating class and we saw not only what they had accomplished academically, but the kind of people that we were, I think everyone agreed that that was the right way to build the school. After we graduated our first class, like I said, we were, you know, convinced that even though it was a slow way to build a school, it was the right way.
Right.
And admissions has morphed over the years. It was always, this is my 6th year in admissions. So for several years, people would say, where do your kids go to college? And I would say, I don't know. We don't have kids who've graduated. So those were always interesting conversations. I really have to say my hat's off to the people who saw the vision for the school and for what it could produce in our children. And without seeing, you know, the final result, they decided to sign up and do it anyway. And so those people I'm forever grateful for because they could see it mm-hmm. In their mind's eye before it was an actuality. And I think actually the result is better than what we could have dreamed.
What is the enrollment scene look like now compared to when you first started a couple years ago?
Oh, gosh.
Does it feel different?
It does feel different. I think there's a variety of things that make it different. One thing is we are now an established school in the fact that we've got graduating kids who go to college and are doing
successful.
Great.
Yep.
So I would say initially it was a lot of a lot of fear in the questions that people were asking, a lot of anxiety, you know, not sure what they would be getting into. Could we get these kids, you know, graduated, et cetera. And then there's another kind of shift I've seen admissions. I would say my generation is a Gen X, and I think we all were maybe latchkey kids and left behind and thought that we could have been something really amazing had our parents paid attention to us or something. And so there was just a big push, you know, like, how do I make my kid the most amazing person and get them to an Ivy League school and they'll be the most successful person in the world. I am not seeing that as much. I think there's a lot of people who look at that and go, wow, it's a lot of really stressed out kids who aren't enjoying high school. So maybe we shouldn't make that our only goal. So I think that's a refreshing change. And then I would say, you know, when I first started doing this job, a lot of folks were very interested to know our stance on technology because they wanted iPads and laptops in classrooms. And they felt like because we didn't have them, their child would be behind or not prepared for college or 21st century
skills.
And now I'm seeing a shift the other way where people are saying, please tell me you do not have iPads in the classroom.
Right.
And I think, again, I think that's a refreshing change. And side note, one of our students who's now a junior at Berkeley was asked this question when she was happily in her freshman year at Berkeley, if she felt like she was really far behind because she didn't have a laptop in class when she was in third grade or something. And she said, no, I'm actually one of the only people in my class that knows how to take notes. And most of my professors have banned laptops and computers because they're shopping or watching Netflix. And she also said she's one of the only people that could finish her midterms, which are in these, you know, blue and green little
paper, that you write
in? The little paper booklets that you pick up at the student store. She's one of the only people in huge freshman classes that would finish on time. So all that to say, handwriting is helpful.
Nice.
You should just do it.
You should. So, what about for the school itself? How has it changed over the last couple of years as far as, you know, introducing weight pools and things like that?
It's really funny. Somebody asked me this question on a tour today, and I would say in so many ways, nothing has changed. We've been here for 9 years as parents. We've been working here for 6 years, and the second grade curriculum is still the second grade curriculum, which I think is great and comforting. However, how are things different? I think we've got bigger classes. We've got more classes. There's definitely a lot of happy parents who are then telling their friends to visit and apply. So there's just greater demand. And I believe it was 3 years ago that we started to have weight pools, which was a new thing for us. And those tend to be in our younger grades because that's obviously the biggest entry point and the easiest to kind of glean from in terms of kind of a good transition versus if they're older. We can get into that in a later part of this podcast. But yeah, it's different because people are now asking how competitive are admissions. I don't know that. It's funny to me because we're talking about kindergarten, but I know parents are anxious and want the best for their kids and want their kids to do well.
Well, but that leads me to the next question then. For prospective families that are out there, like what are some of the things that you're looking for? Because I think it might be different than what they're expecting.
We talk about the ABCs of admission. There's an academic readiness, a behavioral readiness, and a cultural fit. And so academically, you know, we're not asking the kids to do calculus for a junior K or K assessment, but certainly there are some indicators that they would do well, especially developmentally. You know, are they ready to sit in a chair? Can they follow instructions? You know, how many letters and numbers do they know? Things like that. That, again, is different as the older they get. And, you know, if a student is transferring like fifth grade and up, they're going to have some academic aptitude because they're going to have to catch up.
Yeah.
So they have to have aptitude and a little bit of desire to catch up, especially in Latin. And then behavioral, we talk a lot about our teachers being the guide in the classroom. So that just requires students who are willing to show respect and kind of submit to the authority of the teacher in the classroom. You know, kids aren't perfect. We don't expect them to be perfect. But they should at least have kind of a basic understanding of who's running
who's the
show.
Boss?
And they're benevolent. It's not like they're mean. They're wonderful. So they're easy to follow directions from. And then culture, you know, we're not talking about like ethnic culture or anything like that. We're talking about, you know, does the mission of the school to teach kids to think well, love rightly, live wisely, does that resonate with you and mm-hmm. your family? Are you excited about this? Do you see this as, you know, a whole JK through 12 program and process? Is it something that you want for your family? Are you an intentional family who's really kind of pushing against the grain of culture right now in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, how you raise your kids, what they're looking at, what they're reading, things like that. So, and do you want to get involved? You know, we're not a drop off and pick up kind of school. Not that you have to volunteer for everything or, but do you want to be involved in your child's education? Because you really, if you are, you're going to get a wonderful second education.
Right. Oh, I've learned so much. Hey, this has been great so far. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our resident classicist here at the Cambridge School, Jim Hamilton.
Welcome to the arena. I'm Jim Hamilton, the chair of classical languages at the Cambridge School. And today we're going to be talking about admissions and enrollment through an anecdote of the classical world. One of my favorite Latin poets is Horace, who was one of the famed Augustan poets, the other two most notable being Virgil and Ovid. Horace is most interesting for his background, as he came from the humblest background of the other two, his father being quite poor, as we know from his own poems. And I want to quote from one of his poems today in one of the most touching tributes to his father, in which he thanks him for providing him with the greatest education that his father had to work well beyond his means to obtain for his son. So here's Horace's own words translated in English, of course. "And if no one can accuse me, in fairness, of greed, meanness, debauchery, if in truth, in my own praise, I live purely, innocently, loved by my friends, it's due to my father, who though poor, on poor land, wouldn't send me to Flavius's school, where fine lads, the sons of fine centurions, went with their tablets and satchel hanging from their left shoulders, carrying their 8 coins as fee on the ides of each month. But instead, he bravely whisked his son off to Rome to be taught the skills that a senator or a knight would expect to be taught his son." And here we have Rome as the place where there was good education to be found around where Horace lived, but Rome was a place where really valued education was to be found. And saving up tons of money and working very hard, Horace's father was able to get his son into the greatest schools possible. This is mentioned by Horace multiple times in many of his poems. And to be clear, it really paid off for Horace. He became one of the most famous poets in Roman history. He was patroned by Maecenas, which was not a regular thing until that time. Most poets had to work as teachers and make their money elsewhere, and their jobs as poets was just sort of a hobby on the side. But he was able to be a full-time poet, very envied position, writing works for Augustus and works that spread throughout the entire empire and still live on to us today. In a sense, we see here that Horace's father really cared that his son got the best that education had to offer, worked hard to put his son through it. And we know that Cambridge, being a private school, does require a sacrifice to be made. In my opinion, there isn't a family that relates so well with the Cambridge family than Horace and his father. We see that you value the opportunities that Cambridge will have for your kids, just like that of Horace. This has been The Arena. I'm Jim Hamilton. Until next time.
This behind the scenes series is talking to people that are listening that could be at a startup school or a school that's just a few years behind us. But can you go through kind of the nuts and bolts of like the process and some of the things that you've added that you found that helped the enrollment management through the year?
Yes. So the process, it varies a little bit based on grade, but for junior K through fourth grade, we always want the family to start with a tour or a preview night or open house. It's really important to come on campus. I like to encourage families to do one of each. You know, if you come to a preview night or an open house, you're going to definitely, you'll hear from our head of school and other administrators. You'll see demo lessons, and maybe it's a little more scripted, but you're certainly going to get a lot of information. If you come for a tour, you're going to see us how we are every Wednesday or whatever. And I think that's super valuable.
So you get to go inside the classrooms?
Yes. So we start and we just chat about goals, and I try to explain as best as I can to who we are and what we do without boring people. I like to go on and on. But and then we go in the classroom and just kind of see a day in the life. And I think that's really helpful for parents. And it's good for them to get a visual and say, like, oh, I could see my kid doing really well here. Or, mm-hmm. You know, for some people, they get in the classroom and they're like, I'm not really a desk kind of person. Then we're not the school for you. Or, you know, oh, it looks like you have too many subjects. And that's fine. That's good. Mm-hmm. You want to get right. as much information as you can. And then we apply. We have an online application. And once that's in, myself and my assistant kind of get the ball rolling to set up student assessments. So if you're in junior K or kindergarten, those typically happen in kind of a small group setting. Those happen on the Saturday. If you were first through fourth grade, kind of do a one-on-one with our teachers. And then we also set up a parent interview with either one of the principals or assistant head of school. And the parent interview is great because they can certainly ask all their questions of our administrators. Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, ask away about school discipline and expectations of parents and kids and things like that. You really want to get to know the ins and outs, and they have lots of information. And then we're going to ask tons of questions on our end too, like about your family dynamics and discipline in the home and, you know, your views on technology and all sorts of stuff. Not that everybody thinks the same or anything like that, mm-hmm. but just see if it's a good fit. And then we kind of gather all those things October through February. And then we take this to our admissions committee and make decisions. Now, fifth through ninth grade, there's some added steps. One kind of general rule of thumb that Jean shared with me, and I've also heard when Keith Nix has visited us or we've had time to interact with him, is like, you know, kindergarten or junior kindergarten through grade, you're really looking at mom and dad as a good candidate because the child is young and, mm-hmm. you know, can learn to, you know, be a part of the class. Fourth and up, you're really starting to look at the student because depending on where they've been too, if they've been at a public school, and that could kind of bring influences into your school that you may or may not enjoy.
Right. Yeah.
And I think most people in private school are looking for an environment where they feel like their values at home are reinforced at school. Right. So we want to protect that. Mm-hmm. So for fifth through ninth grade, all students are required to do a student visit day. And that's great information for us. We see how they interact in the classroom. The teachers kind of pull them out during the day to do a quick assessment, but they've got a good idea of how they'll do. I mean, it's right. just one day, but they certainly can get a good read on the student. We also ask our students applying fifth through ninth grade to take the IC exam, which is the independent school entrance exam. And that just gives us a good general idea of their academic abilities. It's not the only thing we look at. Mm-hmm. It's part of the whole profile.
So this sounds pretty in-depth. Is there a reason why it's, why would you say it's so in-depth?
First and foremost, we always want to protect our school culture, make sure that the things that we do continue to be done. Mm-hmm. And how that's done is certainly by bringing in the right types of students and families, people that really want the classical model implemented well, and they want to, you know, have a Christian environment for their kids to kind of do their daily life. And so that's important. We want to really get to know the family as best we can. We want them to get to know us as best they can, because we talk about this a lot. Private school is about fit.
Right.
It's, you're choosing in, and each private school has its own essence and flavor. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't like that flavor, there's another one that has a different flavor that would be great for you. So, you know, we never want a family to feel like they have to fit, you know, a square peg in a round hole or vice versa. So that's why we want to really take our time.
So over the years, just being here, I've noticed that we do have classes that aren't necessarily full. People apply for those spots and we don't take them. Mm-hmm. So can you explain why that
sure.
happens? Like, why wouldn't we take these kids?
Sometimes, you know, we might, if a class is only, you know, 12 or 13 kids, if we absorbed 5 new kids into the class, that would be a major culture shift.
Right.
So we have a general rule of thumb that we'll take like 25% new kids, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
For 12, that would only be 2. So it's more than just filling seats. We want to make sure that the student is, you know, again, going to enhance the culture, benefit from it. And then also, you know, that would be overwhelming for the teachers as well. If you have class of 12 and, yeah. you know, 7 of them are new or something, that would be really hard. And things are different now than they were in the beginning, certainly. But yeah, and it's, again, it's just about culture. Preserving culture, I think, is the main reason why we just don't fill every seat, although most of them are filled at this time.
So I just want to ask you, what's your favorite part of your job? I mean, besides, of course, your desk being next to mine all day.
Yes. Besides that, it's hard to say. I think one thing that I love when a family comes in, and especially if they've got a younger student and they're kind of at the beginning of their, you know, K through 12 experience, and I'll ask what their goals are. And, you know, for some people it's, you know, success or college or be a happy person, what have you. And those are all good goals, certainly. I think we all have those goals for our kids. But when I start to talk about the classical model being more than just information, but really forming them into a whole person and teaching them how to think, and especially how to think for themselves, not just be smart, but be a person who can, you know, watch the news at 13, I'm thinking about our own kids, and dissect it and have unique and cool things to say about it. And thoughtful and wise. I think when we get into kind of the why, we talk about this all the time. We want our kids to think well, love rightly, live wisely. And I see parents like lighting up and getting so excited about that. I love that, because the world could use more wise people in it. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, especially in Southern California, it's easy to fall into the trappings like success and, you know, being awesome. And so when there's something very deep, like, you know, the classical model of education and people resonate with that, I get excited about that. The other thing I love about my job is just going into the classrooms. The kids will greet you and be so excited to answer a question. I think what I love is the things that I say in our conference room and kind of describing who our students are and who our teachers are. And it sounds so magical. And then we go in the classroom and they're doing the things that we talked about.
That's awesome.
I love that because it's not phony. It's very real and genuine. The kids, I never tell anyone where I'm going. So it's always a surprise. And so just to see the kids being so excited to greet guests, happy, enjoying school, that's a lot of fun.
So where are we going to be in, say, 2030? What's admissions look like in 2030? Wait, how old will I be in 2030? This went 10 years, 54.
Well, I think it depends.
I still got some good years left. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. After you. Go ahead.
I think it depends on how much space we have.
Yes, right?
So that will make a big difference. Are you talking about numbers or?
Numbers. Yeah. What do we want to be? 1 million.
Not 1 million students, because we can't do what we do with 1 million students. You know, I would imagine having two or three sections of each class, 16, 17 kids, 18 kids in a class, so we can still deliver on mission. Mm-hmm. I think that would be my dream. My dream would also be for everyone to enter in either junior kinder or kindergarten, because you're going to have a much more amazing experience. You're going to get the whole thing. I just heard from a parent today whose daughter started in second grade and her son is starting this year in kindergarten. And she said, oh, I wish Anna could have started in kindergarten. I just see the intentionality and all of the beautiful things that happen in kindergarten. I'm sad that she missed that. So I would say, yeah, I want more people to see the long view and come in early.
That's great.
They'll be happier.
We want our families to be happy.
Yes.
Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today on An Examined Education to talk about enrollment. We hope it was exciting for everyone out there. And we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening to An Examined Education. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to check out our website, schedule a private tour, or reach out to the advancement office. We'd love to see you. And we'd love to hear what you have to say about the podcast. So be sure to check us out on your favorite social media platform. Again, that's at An Examined Education. Leave us a comment, rate and review. And until next time, think well, love rightly, and live wisely.